Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight is my extreme pleasure and also my chagrin to let you know that I do have Corby Mitlide live on the air, and we will be dialoguing. However, there's a problem with the studio, and at present, I'm not able to see a list of any callers, and I'm sure there are a bunch of you there. So, folks, thanks for calling in, and hang in there. What Blog Talk Radio has indicated is that the site's undergoing maintenance and that they'll be back shortly. I don't know about that, so we'll just have to wait and see. But Corby's been on the mystic's path for 40 years, meeting challenges, always questioning, leading the examined life. This road has illuminated an essential cosmic truth. That is that God gives all of us what we need for a life filled with miracles and joy, and as long as our hearts are open, whole, and aligned with source energy, anything is possible. She also says it never hurts to bring laughter on the path with you. If she can share that blessing with you, she feels she's doing things right. Corby is a psychic, channel, and medium, and she's been reading since 1973. She travels coast to coast and into Canada as a full-time intuitive counselor. She's appeared frequently on radio and television and is an inspirational teacher and facilitator. She is a featured channel in Robert Schwartz's breakthrough series, Your Soul's Plan and Your Soul's Gift. Corby's certifications and affiliations include being a certified professional tarot reader through the Tarot Certification Board of America, a member of the American Tarot Association, and an ordained minister of the Sanctuary of the Beloved. Her specific skills include tarot and oracle divination deck readings, spiritual intuitive counseling, past life retrieval and analysis, mediumship, and spirit guide conferences, including speaking with one soul or higher self. Now, to get a reading from her and to contact her, go to firethroughspirit.com. That's www.firethroughspirit.com, all one word. And with that said, let me welcome Corby. Corby, how are you tonight?
Terrific. How are you?
I'm great, except for the snafu. You know, it's just fortunate that I logged into the studio this morning, or we wouldn't have this connection. And the rest of it's just mystifying me. But,
you know, Mercury isn't even retrograde. Normally you could blame it on that three times.
Yeah, well, something's in retrograde, but it's a good one, isn't it?
I'm telling you.
Well, at any rate, as I said to Corby earlier, folks, if for some reason we can't pull you up tonight, I will schedule a special edition show sometime in the next month on a Sunday night that meets with Corby's convenience. So be looking for that at blogtalkradio.com/author David Clark with an E. And Corby is an amazingly gifted psychic. I encourage you to contact her for a full-length reading. You won't be disappointed. I did it. It was amazing. And, you know, when you get a reading on the air, it's just a little thumbnail, and you really want to go deep if you want to really explore. Call her through her website. So, Corby, anyhow, as I'm stumbling around a little bit, what's been going on in your life lately that you'd like to tell us about?
Well, you know, for 6,942 readings of my own, every single psychic says, you know you're supposed to write a book. And a lot of us hear that. but writing has always been my forte. So I took it pretty seriously. And we are finally getting something going.
Wow.
Several years ago, I started a book called God Does Laundry and Walks the Dog, the idea being you already know everything that you need to know, but you need to accept that you do. And it was a great idea, but it was going to be 52 chapters and a deck of cards and. That's awfully hard to produce or to get somebody else to produce.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So, I put it aside, but this year I started writing a weekly blog over on my Facebook page of Fire Through Spirit, and these are going to be released as three volumes, if you will, three gift book-sized volumes, all in the God Does Laundry series. The first book is called Clearing Out. The second one is called Choosing, and the third book is going to be called Either Claiming or Creativity. Not sure yet. The first one is going to have Ganesh, the Hindu god of good luck and obstacle clearing. And he's going to be literally hanging up laundry. He usually wears a snake around his stomach as a belt. The snake is going to be the laundry line. He usually has a little rat with him. The rat is going to hand him the clothespins. It's a very whimsical cover. But we're going to have four topics in it, which will be clarity, adaptability, going with the flow, simplicity, living well with less, and stress. Each one's going to have four chapters underneath. And it's written, but now I'm going through the amazing journey of self-publishing.
Mm.
So, you know, we're hoping to get certainly the Kindle version out in time for Christmas, possibly even the paperback version. And I'm really excited about this because what I do best is the 1,500, 2,000-word essay that gives you a chance to think, chew on a particular aspect of your life, and come up with new ideas. So that's what is new for me.
Well, that's really exciting. Have you aligned yourself with a publisher yet?
Oh, I'm looking at a lot of things. I'm looking at Book Baby. I'm looking at Year of the Book Press. I'm looking at Creative Space. And I'm picking the brains of everybody I know that has a book out there.
Uh-huh.
So it's the most important thing is once it's edited, get it formatted for Kindle. And so I'm doing that. I have a terrific, terrific editor. Her name is Bernie Xiong, X-I-O-N-G. If anybody out there is interested in getting a book edited, she is one of the best ones out there. B-E-R-N-I. X-I-O-N-G, and her website is BernieXiong.com.
That's great to know. Are you open to finding an agent and going the traditional route or no?
Oh, I would love to, but a book, a short gift book like this, generally you have to get it out there first. A great example of how this works is my buddy Chris Alexandria of AngelChatter.com. She wrote a terrific book called Ask Affirmations. Now, for people who don't know what that means, when you try to use affirmations, sometimes your conscious mind gets in the way. If you look at yourself in the mirror, you know you need to lose 40 pounds, and you go, I am slim and beautiful, and your mind goes, what planet are you on? No, you're not. But an ask affirmation is, why is it so easy for me to reach my goal weight?
Right.
You hear crickets. Because the conscious mind doesn't have anything to tell you on that.
There you go. Well,
her book did very well. She self-published. But then it was picked up by a branch of Findhorn Press. And Findhorn Press is one of the well-known metaphysical and spirituality publishers.
Oh, cool.
So that's the kind of route that I want to go on.
Well, I do know Chris. She's a regular on my show.
Well, there you go.
And so I'm familiar with ask affirmations, and I ask, why is it so easy to find a major publisher? And so that's my ask affirmation for today for my latest book. And I do have my foot in the door with an agent, so maybe we can talk later if you'd like her contact information, because she does tend to specialize in metaphysical stuff. So I'd be happy to share that with you. Yeah, she's really cool. Her name is Deborah Ann Jacobs, and actually you can just put in her website, it's Dancing Word Group, and it gives her contact information. She's a real nice lady, and you could just tell her that I mentioned her to you. And
I will do that. Thank you kindly.
You're welcome. So, Corby, let's talk a little bit about your history. I know we've done this before, but we've got new listeners tonight, undoubtedly. Let's talk about when your journey began and how it metamorphosized for you.
How it morphed. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
When I was 9, I read a book called The Witch Family by Eleanor Estes. And instead of thinking, ooh, that's scary, or ha, 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 I thought, and your point is, I knew there was magic in the world, I just needed to go out and find it. Fast forward to 1973, when I was a senior in high school working part-time at Spencer Gifts. Yes, it was around then. That was the year that Live and Let Die came out with Jane Seymour as Solitaire, the fortune-telling reader. And they had the James Bond 007 tarot deck, and I bought it. Why? We were all hippies then. Having your own deck was kind of de rigueur. Now, you know, eventually people put it aside, went to the disco balls and the Farrah Fawcett hair and all of that. Not me. Reading. And so I read for friends for about 20 years, keeping my ego out of the way. All of a sudden in 1994, I guess I had cleared enough stuff because all of a sudden I could do hands-on healing and talk to dead people with no training. That's when I figured that upstairs was handing me my draft notice and saying, hello, you're working for me. So I did it part-time while I did other things full-time until 9/11, when I watched the towers burn and I turned to my husband, Carl, and I said, I will need to do this full-time. People need to know there's something else out there. And he said, I believe in you. Go do it. So haven't looked back since.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, I've talked about some of the different things that you can do. Let's talk a little bit about past life analysis and how that can benefit somebody.
Okay. Look, all of us have past lives. Nobody is good enough to get it all in one, guys. We're not that smart. Past lives are important because you can see some themes. You can understand why you came in with certain things, okay? When I do past life retrieval, it's very different from past life regression, and it's important that the listeners out there know the difference. Retrieval is when I go upstairs, you tell me what your challenge is, and I go up into the Akashic Records, and I pull down the information that you need to look at. Retrieval is me. Regression is something that you must do with a certified hypnotherapist. And they literally bring you into trance. You go up to the Akashic and you take a look at and perhaps relive one or more of your lives. Now, the reason it's important to have a certified hypnotherapist take you back is because if you witness something very, very traumatic, you witness your own death, you see you were raped, something like that, then a certified hypnotherapist knows how to give you suggestions so that you can observe this but not be caught in the physical pain or the emotions. Someone who doesn't know how to do that, you could really do some mental damage. It's one of the reasons why I do not suggest doing regression at a psychic fair or a spiritual expo. It is something that should be done in the privacy of a hypnotherapist's office. So, why do we want to know these things? We come in with challenges or obsessions or places we love or hate for no reason at all, or people that are important to us beyond all recognition. And sometimes we need to know about that in order to clear what's going on now. I'll give one quick example. When I was lecturing at Lilydale a few years back with Robert Schwartz, I was doing what I call lightning round past lives. And a woman raises her hand and she says, I am so freaked out by wet hair in my face. I always keep my hair very short. And she did have a butch cut. But I really need to know what's going on here. And I went upstairs and very quickly brought down the fact that she had been one of the passengers on the Lusitania. For those who don't know the name, it was a passenger ship in 1915. I believe it was a British ship. And it was actually smuggling arms, which you should not have been doing. But the Germans found out about that and sank it. So she was on that ship as a passenger. The ship was torpedoed. Now, she had at that time not gotten her hair cut the way many had at that time in the early 20th century. She still had the big, massive Edwardian hair. So when she fell overboard, it was much, much heavier and harder for her to swim to the surface. Also, with hair that long and thick, debris kept getting caught in it and dragging her down, so she drowned. Once she found out that this was a past life thing and she wasn't going to have the same experience this time, she ended up letting her hair grow. So that's an example of she knew something had gone wrong but didn't know how to resolve it.
Amazing.
Robert Schwartz and I and the other channels did work in his books. We discussed things like death of a loved one, parenting handicapped children, abortion and miscarriages, poverty, homosexuality, physical illness, blindness, deafness, alcoholism, anything that you can think of that has been a major, major challenge in one's life. And we would look and see what the pre-birth plan was. And my part was that I see past lives in detail. And I could also, at that point, channel people's own higher selves for them to talk to. Your higher self is your soul.
Wow. I haven't heard that done before. Is that something you'd be willing to do with me?
Certainly not on the air.
Okay.
The reason is, when I channel, I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. It could be one of the seven deadly words that we're not supposed to say. It could be something so personal and painful that you would be really regretful that that you asked me.
Okay.
One of the reasons that I don't do mediumship on the air, because my mediumship is different. I don't just say, well, I see a guy in a pair of Hawaiian shorts with a tear in it, and he had pancreatic cancer, and his name starts with Q. Because that's fishing. What I do instead is I get what I call the dog tags. That's someone's name, who they were to you, the year they died, and how old they were. It's kind of like a GPS locator. But it doesn't tell me anything about them. Once I get them, I start telling you what I'm getting. And very often what I will get is emotional stuff, habits they did, sometimes a pet phrase. Not just it's a rose and she loves you and it's grandma. Once the identity is established, then you have conversations with them. And, again, that is so private and so personal, I don't do it on the air because I don't know what's going to come out. And if all of a sudden we get your Aunt Doris and she starts talking about the last time she saw you and it was a very traumatic fight, you're not going to be able to handle it on the air, nor should you have to.
Makes sense.
So, it's just the way I operate. I'm so respectful of my clients' comfort, stability, what I do for them in service with compassion, that I will not ever put a client in a position that they are uncomfortable with. I err on the side of caution.
Well, let's talk about what you do for somebody when they come to you for a private conference.
Okay. The first thing that I always ask them is, what's the most important thing you want to know today? And if they look at me blankly, I go really Brooklyn on them and go, darling, what's biting your butt? Because everybody knows what that is. They'll all come up with something. The reason I do that is I do a lot of stuff. I am a certified professional tarot reader, but my readings are very detailed. I am a past life retrieval and analysis expert. I can talk with spirit guides and angels. I can get your dead people. And even in an hour with me, that's an awful lot of information to try to shoehorn in.
Sure.
So I want to make sure that I get what's most important. you know, yeah, I could find a past life for you in Scotland in 1743, but if what is really bugging you is I have to choose which one of these two jobs I'm going to do for the next 5 years, and this one moves me to Hawaii, and this one moves me to Des Moines, which one? Obviously, we want to spend the time looking at that relocation stuff.
Makes sense.
When I do, now that's the thing about tarot. I do an awful lot of what I call deep dish readings. I do not flip a few cards and guess, because frankly, that doesn't do a lot of good for you. Let's take that idea about a relocation reading, okay? When you are trying to decide where to move, let's say that your boss says, look, we have a promotion for you in another region, and I'll give you three possibilities of a choice, okay? So what I do is there are actually 9 things to look at in each one. How the move to the city itself will go, housing situation, work situation, financials, family dynamics, how your children will adjust, including school, social dynamics, how people are going to get along with the neighbors and the prevailing feel of the new hometown, spiritual and their overall take. That's a lot. So this reading, if they were looking at San Bernardino, Houston, and Boston, then that would be 27 different cards to look at and see how everything balances out. Okay? That's one of the reasons why I encourage people, come with a list of questions and put them in priority order. Because people are not used to a psychic that reads to the detail level that I do. And I do that because I could care less if you're amazed by my wiki-woo. I'm here in service. And that means my job is to give you as much information as possible so you leave me with a rocket pack on your back ready to tackle whatever the challenge is you came to see me about.
Cool. Are there any admonitions for somebody that's looking for a reading?
Yeah, there are times when you should not be looking for a reading, actually. You would think, what is a psychic going to do telling me that I shouldn't see them? But the reason I do that is because you have to be open in a case like that. You have to be ready to do this kind of thing. So let's look at when you shouldn't have a reading, okay? Because there are certain circumstances. Number one, you as a client feel you absolutely have to hear a certain answer to a question. If this is the case, you're not open enough to listen to what the universe tells you. Every psychic intuitive I know can remember countless clients who were so set on having or keeping a certain relationship or not having to face the consequences of a difficult situation or wanting their will to trump someone else's that they ask the same question over and over, tilting it a little bit to see if it's a better answer. Example, does Bruce think about me? No. Has he ever thought about me? Not the way you want. Well, if I do such and such, will he think about me? No. Is he going to call soon? He's not. Well, if he isn't going to call soon, when will he call? He doesn't want a relationship with you, Petunia. And then there is, the client is extremely negative or angry about a situation. And this happened to me in Canada. Can you tell me where my ex-husband is sleeping with his mistress? No, I'm sorry, I don't do remote spying. Now, this is what remote spying is. Brad Pitt can ask about Angelina Jolie. Angelina can ask about Brad. Angie can't ask about Jennifer. You see how that would be remote spying? Brad and Angelina are a couple. Of course they can ask about each other. But she has no right to ask about an ex of his that has nothing to do with their lives now. So then this woman said, well, is he with the same one or a different one? I don't do remote spying. I'm sorry. How many prostitutes has he cheated on me with? That's still remote spying. Oh, okay. Well, is he sick? Is he going to die soon? Can I still get his money? No! No, 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 no. Do you see why that is so against everything that a good intuitive would talk about?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. The next one. The client is so despondent about life that they will refuse to see any hope or positivity. For instance, they tell me, I never have any friends. I say, I'm seeing new friendships for you in the spring. They say, but they never stay. They always leave me. I say, do you want to look at what can change that? They say, no, why bother? It never works. Why am I so lonely? You want to hit them over the head with a wet noodle. So when you come to see me, guys, the most important thing is for you to trust yourself, to know what you want to know and be willing to listen. Because that's the other thing. A client is so unsure about their own ability to control their life, they come to a psychic too frequently. That is when you get into the most trouble. Because when you think that a psychic has to tell you everything, number one, you're going to spend way more money than you need to. Number two, an unscrupulous psychic is going to see they can take advantage of you and tell you, well, the reason you're so miserable is there's a hole in your aura and you need to come see me every week for the next 4 months so we can cure it. No, you don't. No, you don't. And the other thing is, don't ask for the minutiae. Swear. David, this was a list of questions that a woman came to me with. I need to know what needs to be done to sell our house, what furniture goes and how to sell it, what furniture needs to be bought and where to get it, what rooms need to be painted and what colors, and. Talk to someone who sells houses or decorates, you know, living rooms, not me.
Right, right.
So
that's funny.
It is. If you go onto my website, there's actually a section under psychic questions to ask a psychic and psychic readings that'll give you some ideas of what we can do and are happy to do for you and what you really shouldn't ask us, because you can figure these things out yourself, and it's better if you do.
Sounds good. Well, I love the way you say that when you're aligned with source energy, anything is possible.
Yes, it is. When I got my third bout of breast cancer in 2004, it was devastating. I'd only been married for a year and a half. My figure was going to be destroyed physically. I'd have a lot of damage, and just a lot of things would go out the window, as they do when you have surgery that basically totally reconfigures you top to bottom. So I knew in order for me to survive this, I had to figure out the good stuff about it, living the examined life. So I said to the universe, okay, I need to find at least three things that I can be happy about with this. And the first thing that the universe said to me was, well, you don't have them, you can't get cancer there. And I thought about it, and I said, well, that's a good thing. And then they said, you're not going to have the front half slammed in a refrigerator door at the doctor's twice a year. And every woman listening knows exactly what I'm talking about with that. Then it said, you're going to have implants. You'll have a 24-year-old chest until you're 93. In other words, I'm going to look 24 from the neck to the waist. Okay, I'll deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realized that there had to be some positive things that I was going to work on. The universe offered it to me. And because I was willing to do this in a spirit of exploration and trust, it gave me so much knowledge and compassion about difficult situations in people's lives that it's one of the reasons that I'm a very good reader and a very good teacher. Because I'm not just talking about things I don't understand. I know what it is to look in the mirror and say, am I going to die? I know what it is to say, I don't recognize me anymore. I know what it is to wonder, will my husband even stay with me? So at that level of compassion, I can be there for people on a level that people who have just their size 2 blondes from Atlanta with a trust fund have never had to experience.
That's got to make an amazing difference from the standpoint of somebody having counseling with somebody like you who's been through an experience like that as opposed to somebody who's never had a challenge like that.
Not to toot my own horn, but yes, I think it makes a big difference. for instance, there was a woman who came to me recently. She just found out she had breast cancer. We talked about how to do it with the examined life attitude, but I also gave her places to go for the type of food she wanted to eat, some names of good doctors. I didn't go into my story chapter and verse because that's ego. She doesn't need to hear all the minutia about mine. What she needs to hear is, I got through it. These are ways you can do it where you will still stay strong. And we go from there.
Next.
So, yeah, it's important.
Yeah.
You know, have I ever had a miscarriage? No. So I can give a little objective help with that, but I've never wanted to be a mother, so I can't do the mommy thing. For that, you might want to go to an intuitive that has, you know, that is a mother or a grandmother and understands the importance of a child to a woman. So, again, it's one of the reasons it's important. Find out about our background. Get references on who we are, because it's like doctors. We have specialties. We all have a different bedside manner. We went to different, you know, medical schools, if you will. And so don't assume that one psychic is like every other. It's like choosing your primary physician. You want to have someone that you can have a long-term relationship with, but that doesn't run your life micromanaged. You must do this, 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 and I'll see you next week.
Well, I'm looking at the studio here, and it says waiting for host. So I have no idea if we're even recording. I wish there was some way that I could tell. My best thinking is that we should reschedule a show. And so let me give you a call back. Should I call you at the number that you gave me?
Yes, that's perfectly fine.
Okay. Well, we've had Corby Mitlide tonight, if you folks are still with us and listening. If there are people that are live on the line, know that I've kept checking out to see if there was a way that I could get to you, and there is not for tonight. So what I'm going to do is schedule a special edition Sunday night show with Corby sometime in the next month. And if you go back to blogtalkradio.com/authordavidclark next week, I will have that posted. So check it out. And Corby, thank you for joining me tonight.
You're more than welcome, David.
Okay. Talk to you in a bit.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.